It's time for Crime on the Mind with crime prevention expert, retired Fairfield Police Lieutenant Jim Perez. Now on Melissa in the Morning, WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
DMV officials across the country released advisories about scam texts that are attempting to manipulate drivers into paying fake outstanding tolls. Crime prevention expert Jim Perez here now with more details about this and how we can prevent being duped by it. Jimmy, is this the same thing as a texting scam we saw maybe a month or two ago that was coming from, well, allegedly coming from EasyPass when in fact it wasn't?
Yes, this is similar. But now what they're doing is, because remember, EasyPass is a private company. Mm-hmm. DMV is a public company. So oftentimes what happens is because you have this thing called source credibility, right? Which means these are all psychological tactics, by the way. Source credibility is where someone, an authority, will request something of you. You're more likely to actually do it. And so in this case, you know, the last one was EasyPass sending out messages, and people can easily dispute that or even ignore it because they can go on their account right away and do it. But DMV is a public entity,
so, right?
That's right. And so it's deemed to have more credibility than EasyPass. And so what they're doing is these hackers or these criminals are literally hitting all the DMVs across the country and warning them about new messages that are coming in. And most of them have to do with what you talked about, you know, unpaid fees, traffic violations, threatening penalties, stuff like that. But it also, think about this for a second. May 7th was the deadline for Real ID. So they can easily put in a message saying that your license has been suspended or is no longer valid unless you do this. And the whole thing, first of all, it's called smishing, which is like when they send you something through email, they're sending it through text. Mm. And what happens is text is a lot more vulnerable because we're constantly checking text messages a lot quicker than you do emails. So what happens is as soon as you open a text, you're fine. If you click any links within those texts, that's where you start to get into trouble. So there's two ways that these bad guys come at you. So the first one is they will ask you for biographical information, which is Social Security, you know, date of birth, that kind of stuff. And they say that in a ruse under you know, the ability of being able to. They need to get into your account. And in order to do that, you have to verify all these things, which legitimate companies do use. The second way they get in there is by putting in a Trojan horse or some type of malicious software. So as soon as you click on the text or the link within the text, you immediately open up your phone to being pretty much pillaged by whoever's on the other side.
Here's my question, Jim Perez. Would the DMV ever text you?
No, not unless you initiated a conversation with them, but generally, no. No place, whether federal, state, local, or even private entity, would ever just out of nowhere send you an email or a text saying that you owe this, that, or the other. Usually it's a letter that they send to you. And even if they do it by email or by text, you have the responsibility of verifying it. And I don't know, you know, we say this over and over again, but people still fall for it. If someone comes up to you and says, you know, that they want you to do this, they need you to do that, immediately leave that text or leave that email, go into the regular web and download or actually put in the official business website and then go into that and call that number and see if it's legit. And you're going to find out that it's not. They're always going to say it's not legit.
Well, because I think that scammers have gotten, you and I have talked about this so many times, Jim, they've gotten so smart. They make the website look exactly like the official website so people can't tell. They know that they are doing things that you're very vulnerable. I mean, the average person, mm-hmm. you know, even if we say it a lot, we panic, right? When we're told we owe money mm-hmm. or something awful could happen, you go into this place of you're not even logically thinking, which is why I asked the question, would the DMV ever text you directly? Because right then and there, I don't know what you think, I would just delete it. I would not respond to that unless I got a direct phone call from the DMV or I got something in the mail. I would never... Right? I mean, that's just kind of the mentality I've been taking with anything to avoid scams. Is if I see something that's like, hey, your easy pass is over, you haven't paid it or whatever. If I don't get something direct from them in the mail or a phone call where I can justify who that person is and in the phone number, I just delete it.
Here's another one that people need to be aware of, because I get these too. A lot of people have automatic subscriptions, right? Where you know, your credit card gets charged automatically after 2 months, 3 months. Amazon is huge in it. There's other, you know, entities that actually use it too. Well, what these scammers are doing is they're sending you a text or an email saying that your $700 went through for your automatic payment. And then what happens is you go into it because you panic. You go into it and you're like, wait, $700? Or you'll get a $370 bill from an antivirus company. You know what I mean? It's renewing your laptop or your whatever, you know. Here's the bottom line. Any of those bills that come in, you already know what you're paying and you already know what your subscription is. The minute you get something like that, I need you to just erase it and then go back to the website or to the app or to what, however you do your subscriptions, and check it, and you'll see that everything's fine.
I was just going to say that, Jim. So there's a couple things you could do, and maybe we could talk about that when we come back after the break, which is certainly taking a breath, delete it, and check to see your account. But the other thing that I know I've done is, like, with my credit card, if it goes over, you know, a $500 charge, which I could tell you doesn't happen very often at all, it actually blocks it from going through. It'll say, hey, you have to give us verification. So if I don't hear from my credit card company that $700 went through, either they're failing me, which they haven't, or it never happened, which more likely than not, that's exactly what's going on. So when we come back, Jim, I want to talk about some of the things people can do, you know, to make sure that they're not being duped, but also to make sure, you know, if in fact they do owe a bill or something, where would that come from? How would they be notified about that? Because you don't want to just delete things and be like, oh, well, that's what I was told to do, but then you actually miss a payment, something like that. We're talking about the latest text scam out there, allegedly coming from DMV. I say alleged because it's not. These are scammers who are reaching out in actually multiple states. The DMVs have said, beware of these texts, delete them, don't click on any links. When I was looking at the Time magazine, there was a Time article, I should say, that came out on June 1st warning about this. It says the spam texts have been detected in Illinois, New York, Virginia, Pennsylvania, Florida, New Jersey, Georgia, Colorado, Vermont, Texas, and California. Now, I noticed that Connecticut's not on the list. However, our surrounding states have been. And correct me if I'm wrong, Jim Perez, our crime prevention expert. Just because we're not on this list doesn't mean we haven't seen this. It may not have been reported yet, or our DMV may not have sent something out yet, correct?
Right. Yeah, there's no doubt in my mind there have been victims in Connecticut, because this happens pretty much everywhere. And for the FBI and both the FBI, which are both these are two national or federal agencies. So both the FBI and the Federal Trade Commission have intervened because there's been such an alarming rise in these across the country. So listen, people, first of all, if you want proper information, you can go to these two excellent agencies. You can go to FBI.gov and put in scams, and they'll give you the information. Or you can go to FTC.gov, and they will also give you equal information. Now, FTC, or the Federal Trade Commission, is a depository which is in charge of not only collecting all this information, but actually investigating these things. So it's important that you actually reach out to them, and they have great resources that everyone can use. But the most important thing that you need to do, and people tend to kind of almost like dismiss it, is don't forget about the National Do Not Call Registry. Now listen, you might think that it doesn't work, but it actually does work, because it targets legal and illegal telemarketers and scammers. Now, because of the proliferation of AI and technology, what's happening now is you have machines that are literally running through 15 digits, starting at 000 times 15 and going all the way up. So eventually your phone's going to be hit, but it's not by a human person. It's by a computer. So don't get discouraged by thinking I shouldn't do it. You should do it. And you should make sure that every year or every 2 years that you're actually on the Do Not Call registry list. The other thing you can do is just what we talked about before. Avoid clicking on links from phone numbers, especially if you don't recognize them. That is the most dangerous thing that you could ever do. And most importantly is remain skeptical, and especially when personal information is involved. If anybody says to you, listen, I need your date of birth. Then forget it. There was a guy recently, unfortunately, I think it was in the town of Darien, who lost thousands because he was trying to find a job on Indeed. And he went on there and he thought he was on a legitimate site, and come to find out, they started immediately asking him for personal biographical information. And when that happens, especially right away, now listen, a company will eventually ask you for that, if, of course, if they hire you. But other than that, there is absolutely no reason to be giving out personal information in the first 10 minutes of a phone call, especially with someone that you have no idea who they are. That is just silliness. So I'm asking you, I'm imploring people, if in fact you receive one of these things and you have the slightest doubt, reach out to someone else. I don't care who it is. It could be a friend, a neighbor. You know, if your cat talks, talk to your cat. I don't know. But talk to somebody other than yourself, because when you stay within yourself, you are emotionally, psychologically, you are emotionally involved, and you're not going to make the right decisions. You said that earlier, too.
Yeah.
And that's exactly true.
It's true. And again, Jim, I think, you know, like you said, there are certainly simple things that we could do. Do the do not call registry, check the FTC website, FBI. I think the big takeaway is certainly take a breath, take a step back and think logically about it. And again, just know the facts. The facts are the DMV is not going to text you directly. They're just not going to do it. So if you get something like that, delete it. And then if you still are worried about, well, maybe I have an outstanding amount, go to their legitimate website and call them directly. Or like Jim was saying, in other tech scams like this, go to check and see, well, did it come out of my credit card bill? Was I actually charged for this? Always just take a step back, take a breath, and check to see if something is real or not at all. Jim, always appreciate having these conversations with you. Thank you so much for putting this on our radar. And I know we'll talk again next week. Thank you so much.